a message that's been on my heart for the last number of days, and it's very pertinent to what we've just been singing. It is that one sheep that God goes after, because you are important to the Lord. You are very important. Your eternal soul is important to God himself. You are very important tonight. So I pray and I trust that you will listen. You will listen with open ears tonight to what God has to say to you, and that you will go away rejoicing along with heaven as well in having the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you turn with me? There's one verse I want to read, and then I'm going to go to a different portion. But turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. There's one verse I have in my heart here. Luke 19, and we will read verse 10. It says, here's the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's a far way as the Lord Jesus came, all the way from the heights of heaven, all the way from the glory of being with God forever, seeing us in our lost state and coming to seek us so far from heaven. That's how important you are tonight, is he came from heaven, the glory of heaven. This is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can you turn now with me, please, to Luke chapter 15. No doubt many of you knew that this was the verses I was going to read. This portion of scripture here, Luke chapter 15, it's the story of the lost sheep. It says, and we'll read at verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans," or tax collectors, "and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners," or welcomes sinners, "and eats with them. And he said this parable unto them, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 upright or just persons which need no repentance." May the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious, precious word. What a life-giving message. What a story of a Savior that's active, a Savior that is out to seek tonight. He is the same one. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will be the same. So the same one we read about here that is going after those lost sheep, where sinners or tax collectors and sinners were drawn to him. He was eating, the religious people, the sinners were scared of the religious people because they had this air about them that they were so good, tried to be so good, full of pride. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and sinners were drawn to him because he was someone that welcomes sinners, it says. And as the Pharisees, that was the one accusation they made against the Lord Jesus, is that this man, they noticed him and they noticed that he was a great man. They noticed, they even were envious of him, of how good this man was, the Lord Jesus. He walked around and they recognized that he is better than they are. And he is a teacher sent from God. And yet, this man welcomes, he receives sinners that come to him. He doesn't push them away, but he receives them. So you can see here, I have 3 points that I want to speak about. The first one is, from this parable, is man's problem. We have a problem. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came from such a high place down to earth to save us. We have a problem, which is we are lost. And the second thing is, what has God done about our problem? What has God done? He sees us in our state. God sees us in our state. And what does he do? Does he condemn us? Does he judge us as he would be rightful? He would be right to do that. He would be right to judge us. Or what is God's remedy? Is he has a seeking Savior. He sends his seeking Savior, his own Son, to save those that are lost. And finally, we have our responsibility. What is our responsibility? And we'll get that in verse 7 of coming to Christ in repentance. Coming to him in repentance. So we know that Luke's gospel, it speaks so much about the poor. It talks about those who are the outcasts. And actually, there's one man by the name of I.H. Marshall that says, it is the gospel for the outcast. Luke is the gospel for the outcast. So if you're here tonight and you feel, maybe you might feel out of place, or you might feel that you're outcast, that your life, who really cares about me? I'm not as good as other people. I feel guilty. I feel lost. You know what? This is the gospel for you. It's a gospel for the outcast. And here, the Lord Jesus, he receives, he welcomes sinners. So verse 1, it says, then drew unto him all the publicans, the tax collectors. And the tax collectors were looked upon as, back in the day, they were those that people despised, because rightfully so in some ways. They would take money. Sometimes the Romans, they would be working for the government, the Roman government. There would be Jewish people, likely. There would be Jewish people. And they would go out and collect the taxes. But then sometimes they would ask more, and they would be cheating the people, asking more, but then they would pocket the rest of it. So they were hated people. They were considered by society to be the scum of the earth, those who were outcasts. People despised them. And yet they felt welcomed coming to the Lord Jesus. They recognized that here's someone who will welcome us. But they recognized that this is a great man. And yet he was welcoming to them. And so that's, they all drew near unto him. All of them drew near unto him for to hear him, because he had such words. He had glorious words. He had gracious words for such sinners. He had gracious words. But the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. And so the Pharisees were those that were, and the scribes were the ones that were the religious people of the day. They thought that they were better than the tax collector, because, and the regular sinner out in the street, they thought that they were better because of what they're doing, their pious living, the way they lived, by doing certain things. They thought by tithing once a week, by giving money, by dressing a certain way, by living a certain way, they thought that they're going to be before God. God's going to accept their person by how good they've done, how much good things they've done, by living an upright life, and yet not recognizing that they are truly just as condemned and just as sinful as the sinner, the regular sinner is. And so the Lord Jesus brings before them this parable, and he speaks of how he begins off with speaking, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he found it? So you can see here how he leaves the 99 in the wilderness. Those who don't sense their need of the Savior, they think that they are doing good. They think, I don't really need help. I don't really need to be saved because I'm doing pretty well. And they're coming before God trying to bribe God with all the good things that they've done. We think of the Old Testament and how it says in Isaiah, it says, but all our righteousness, everything righteous that I can bring, are all as filthy rags. So those people were thinking that because of what they were doing, bringing before God all of their own righteousness, that God was going to be pleased with them. But they didn't realize that even in Job, it says how can no clean thing come out of an unclean? How can a clean thing come out of an unclean? So we recognize that they're both in the same position. But the Lord Jesus is interested tonight in going after. It says he leaves the 99 in the wilderness. Those who think that they're good, they think they're righteous. And he goes after. He is pursuing. He is seeking. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is seeking. This is just as real tonight. He is seeking that which is lost, it says, until he finds it. So Lord Jesus is not going to rest. He is not going to rest until he finds that one sheep, that one that he is interested in. This one is so precious to him, one that is lost, lost in their sin. Recognize that they can't save themselves. They're lost. They're out in the wilderness. Think of a sheep that is out in the wilderness, far away, in maybe cut and bruised, and having gone through many a fall, and is lying there, pitiful state, lying there in the and just unable to find himself. He needs someone else to come and rescue him. He might be tied up. He might be wounded and broken. Can't even walk. And he's hoping, is someone going to find me here? I'm here lost in this pitiful condition, and I just can't get out of this state. I'm shackled. We think of, there's a few people I'm thinking about specifically tonight that I was struck by myself. Of just one person that God is seeking. Four, I would say, honorable mentions. And I just gave it that title, the honorable mentions that we read of in the scriptures, where God is seeking. He is going after that one person. And there's a few of them I've been thinking about. And the one I want to start off with is, and I'll just go over the story, just a light overview of their life and how Lord Jesus found them. One person that God, and that's why I picked those four, is God is actively pursuing them. One person for each of them. God is interested in them. And just thinking tonight, this could be you. This is you if you are lost. The Lord Jesus is not resting until he finds you tonight. I was thinking of one, the man of Gadara. Here's one. That the Lord Jesus Christ, from one side of the lake, he's going over to another side of a lake. There's a country of Gadara, the Gadarenes, over on the other side. And you can think of, there's water. There's a great space between them. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And he was desirous to go over there. So as they go, there's a mighty storm that comes on the scene. And there's waves upon waves. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sleeping in a boat. And as he comes over to the other side, he was going to come and meet this one person. This one person that was on his heart. The reason why I know this is because the Lord Jesus Christ leaves without talking to any other person. Or without all the people actually wanted him to leave. But there was one person that was changed forever. There was one person whose destiny and whose life was completely transformed by Christ. And each occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer for the one that is whatever state they're in. He is able to deliver. He is able to save. And tonight he is able to save from the greatest of our peril, the greatest destruction, which is our sin, our own sin. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one that is able to save. And so here there's a demon-possessed man, a man that was cutting himself. It says, he was on the other side and he wore no clothes. He was naked, shamelessly naked. He had nothing to wear. He was out of his mind. He was a man that was out of his mind. The Lord Jesus Christ cares for this man. No one else seemed to care for him. No one really could care for him. He was shackled. He had to bind him, to chain him. And yet he broke the chains. He was a wild man because he was demon-possessed. And so he was shackled. Tonight, you might feel that you are shackled. Maybe not by demonic forces, but maybe by your own sin of some sort. Shackled, unable to get out. You're in a very desperate state. And yet, Here he is. He's hoping, or is there might be no hope for him, he might think, but God knows and God sees. The Lord Jesus Christ knows this man. And he goes over there and he lived amongst tombs, cutting himself in a very desperate state. And Christ Jesus comes over and he casts out the demons of this man. And for each one of them, what is the result? The result is afterwards they go over and he is sitting. This same man is now sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. His clothes are on him and in his right mind. That's the result of Christ. That's what he can do. He can truly transform a life. He can transform a person. He loves this man, one man. And then the people came and they saw what great things he has done and they were scared of him. Who is this man? And they told him to depart from them, to leave to the other side. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells this man, go tell him what great things God has done for you. And that was what I'm here tonight, is to tell of what great things Christ has done for me as well. That's why I can say this, is he can transform a life, he can change a life. Think of this next story. There's a woman of Samaria, one person, that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I must go through Samaria. I need to go through Samaria. And Samaria was a place which was despised of the Jewish people. There were people that were kind of like a mixture of Jew and I guess Gentiles. And there would be a people, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They would avoid them at all costs. So if Samaria is here, the people would go around Samaria, the Jewish people. But the Lord Jesus Christ says no. Not for us. He's not for me. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. Because he had an appointment with a certain person that he loved, that he cared for. A person that was empty. A person that was also in a desperate situation. And the Lord Jesus Christ meets this woman. And she says to him, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, who is a woman of Samaria? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, ask of me. If you would have known, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. You know, she was a woman that was empty. She has tasted of the waters of this earth. She has tasted of how empty everything is. And she went in for it all, trying to find satisfaction here and not finding it here. And then turned to something else, trying to find satisfaction here and not finding it here. All the while living in sin, in the pleasures of sin. And yet it left her in a desperate state. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ says a woman, she was a woman who had five husbands. The Lord Jesus Christ knew every detail of her life. He knew that she has had five husbands and that she was desiring to find satisfaction, trying to find, latch onto people to find her satisfaction. And the one that she now had was not her husband. So she was living in fornication and in sin. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was so welcoming to her. He knew her state. He receives sinners. He welcomes sinners. He says to her, Jesus said unto her, she says, I know that there is one coming who is Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to her, I that speak unto you am he. Here's a seventh man. She's had six men in her life. And she found in each one, every time she turned to another, because she couldn't find peace and rest in people or in whatever she was going after. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that was able to satisfy her deepest part of her. He says, ask of me and I will give you living water. He says, I am the bread. I am the living water. Come to me and drink, and you will be satisfied forever and ever. You will be satisfied. He is offering that to you tonight. He is offering you tonight that you might himself. He's giving you himself tonight. He says, come. And then what's the result of this woman after she found Christ? She left her water pot, the things of this earth, and she ran into the city and told them, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So she was rejoicing now. She has found him. She has found the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. It is Christ, the living Christ. And let me stop for a moment here. You were read of a man of Gadara, a man who was shackled and unable to get out of his circumstances, shackled in sin, shackled by demon possession, really. But there was no hope for him apart from Christ. And there was no hope for this woman to satisfy her heart. And she found Christ. She found all that she ever needed. She had a relationship with God now. And we can present to you tonight, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You can see that these people here, we have a state of condition that is far greater than any human condition, any physical ailment. Sometimes every physical ailment comes from a result of being a human being who has been under the curse of sin. It all comes from that, from just being a man, being in Adam, being born in the human race. We think of, where does this all come from? We were inherited with it. We inherited it from our mom, from our dad. It was passed down from a child, the sinful nature. It's automatically. You don't have to teach a child to sin. It comes from the very core of who they are. It is the fallen nature. And Adam sinned in the garden. Back in the garden, Adam sinned. God said, the tree of the middle of the garden, of all the trees you may freely eat, but of the tree of the middle of the garden you shall not eat of it. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I know that Satan came along and deceived Eve and said to her, hath God really said? Did God really say? You will be wise if you eat of it. You will not surely die. But God has very clearly stated, there was no mistaking what God had said. Up till now, man had a relationship with God. They were walking in innocence. Adam was walking in the cool of the day, having fellowship with God. And now they took of the tree which God said not to take of it and bit into that fruit. And immediately there was death. Immediately there was a separation. And immediately there was this guilt before God. Oh, and God came after Adam and said to him, and he was accountable. God says, he comes to Adam and says, did you eat of the tree which I told you not to eat of? Adam knew. He says, and then he started blame shifting. He says, oh, the woman that thou gavest me, she gave me to eat. And instead of taking his own responsibility, and God says, cursed is the ground because of you, because of your sin. And the scripture says very clearly that your sins have separated you from your God, from you and your God. There's this great isolation between us and God. And there is nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can, like I said earlier, no clean thing can come out of the unclean. There's nothing that we can produce, God, that will be pleasing in his sight from our own self, from our own strength, from our own effort. God has condemned it. It's condemned. And know what the result of the result of sin is? It is death. And ultimately, there's an appointment we have with God. There's an appointment we have. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And this is for each one of us. Please listen. For each one of us. It is an appointment for Derek to die. There's an appointment for each one of you. Put your name there for me to die. There's going to be this day when there's going to be an appointment. And your life will be brought up before God. And your books will be opened. And the books are going to be opened. And every man will be judged according to their books. It says an appointment unto men wants to die. But after this, there's judgment. The judgment. We're going to stand before God. What have we done with his son? What have we done? We're going to be condemned in our own sin. And with our sins, we're going to die in our sins. There's nothing worse than a sinner going into eternity without their sins being taken away, without being forgiven their sins. Their scripture teaches and says, you shall die. If you don't receive Christ as your Savior, you shall die in your sins. Which tells us that Christ is the answer and that he is the only one that can take away our sins. Praise God tonight that there is an answer. Praise God that we have a Savior. We have someone that we can present to you today. There's a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, who is real tonight. He is active, and right now he desires to save. He longs to save, and he is willing, and he is able to save. He is willing. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And he is able. He says, I have a power. He says, this commandment have I received from my Father, to give eternal life to as many as God has given him. To give eternal life. He has the authority. Tonight, he loves you, and he wants to save you. He has the desire to save you. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we think of the scripture verses of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two other people that I was thinking about, of one people, but I'm going to mention the two of them. One is the Ethiopian eunuch, just to put the point home how God is desirous to make the first move. God is desirous tonight to make the move towards you. He wants to save, just like the Lord Jesus Christ is going into the wilderness, a far route into the wilderness to find you tonight. And you might be far away, but not too far for him to find you. He goes to where you are, and he comes right to where you are tonight to save you. And here it says, the Ethiopian eunuch, just as a mention, here's a man that was coming back from Jerusalem, from worshiping in Jerusalem, and yet he still didn't find the truth. And he left. As he left, God sent Philip. Again, notice God is actively going after him. God is sending a man. As he's reading Isaiah the prophet, he's reading of, in the scripture, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And it says in verse 35, and then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer for all of our sin problem. He is the answer. He preached unto him Jesus. And what does Isaiah 53 speak about? Isaiah 53 speaks about he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We sang a hymn earlier. We sang a hymn, how deep were the waters crossed? How far did the Lord Jesus Christ go to save a sinner? What did it cost him? What did it cost the Lord Jesus? Well, it cost his very life. It cost him here to save us who are sinners. Our sins have to be taken away. Or we die in our sins and there's an eternal hell and judgment from God who is holy. So we're the ones that are guilty. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God is going to judge us for our sin. The gospel is very simple. Here's us who are in our sins, hell-deserving sinners. God righteously can, would if God, because God is just, and God is angry with sin. How angry are we when we see someone getting away with something, murdering someone, or even beheading someone, or atrocities that are happening, and yet how angry we are when they don't get justice. We're like, how can that be? How there must be justice. Our hearts cry out for justice because that's wrong. That's wrong. They must pay. They must pay. You know what? Sin, the Lord Jesus says, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, stealing, lying, a pride, foolishness. All of these things, in God's eyes, God is just as abhorred at one of those sins, lying or stealing or pride. God is so angry at any one of those sins. He hates the sin. God hates it. And because we're the sinners, we're the ones that are guilty for that, God is going to judge that sin. Sin cannot get away with. There's no sin that will ever come into God's heaven. So what is the remedy then? Well, you know it. It is Christ, Jesus the Lord. He is the answer. He was wounded. What is God going to do? He spared not his own son. He says, who is God going to spare? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is holy, the Bible says, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, never did any sin. He knew no sin in his mind, in his action. He never did any sin. And yet, who is God going to spare? His own beloved Son, who has pleased him. God opened up heaven and says, this, see him. This is a man. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Everyone, look at him. I'm well pleased in him. And yet here are we who are sinners. Who is God going to spare? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the cross for the sinner, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God judged the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in those hours as he hung there on a tree. He was crucified. Men in their wickedness put him on a cross. But there, as he hung there on those hours on the cross, God judged him. You know what? There's a shepherd that is going out after that sheep, that one lost sheep. And you know what happens? It is this same shepherd who says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I love the sheep so much, I'm going to lay down my life for him, for the sheep. You're worth it to me. For you, there is salvation, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no other way. There is no other way but the cross. There was no other way for him than to go face to face in that judgment that was going to fall upon him with all of its vengeance. There's a hymn that says, on him, almighty vengeance fell that must have sank a world to hell. And it says, he bore it for a sinful race, and thus he became my hiding place. So on Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for Derek Hofer's peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. I can walk away free. I can walk away with a restored relationship with the Father, with God. Completely, no sin to harm that relationship between, because it's been taken away. All been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that can take away your sin tonight. And he is able. And he is willing tonight. And you know what? It continues on in the same story. He goes after it till he finds it. He went through the Calvary. He went through Calvary to find that lost sheep. And now he's able to save. On a resurrection ground, he is standing here tonight. He is standing before you tonight, as it were, beseeching you, begging you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You don't have to fear God. You can walk into God's arms, as it were, forgiven by going through Christ. He is the answer. He took your punishment. And then it says here, what does he do when he finds that sheep, that one lost sheep, which is you tonight, if you're not saved? He comes to right where you are. And he comes right there and he finds you. The Lord Jesus Christ finds you tonight. Don't think of tomorrow. He comes to you tonight. And you know what he says? And when he had found it, what does he do? He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He comes down and he picks up that sheep that couldn't pick itself up. And he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know what? We're so weak, we couldn't even do anything. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's the answer for us. And he puts us on his shoulders. Talk about security. And says, how long are we on his shoulders? And when he cometh home, all the way home, we're on his shoulders. I'm still on his shoulders since I've been saved. And I'll be on his shoulders till I'm home in heaven. And many here that can testify the same thing. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, I give them eternal life. They shall never, ever perish. So we think tonight of this wonderful story of how, first, we are lost. And we must recognize that we are lost. But then, what's the remedy? It's Christ himself going after, seeking, and not giving up. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And then when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders rejoicing all the way home. Are you on the shoulders of Christ tonight? Are you resting on his shoulders? Because his shoulders are big, his shoulders are strong, and he is able to take you all the way home. He is, you think of the Old Testament, it says the government is on one of his shoulders, just one of them. But the security of the sheep are too close, too precious to him. He holds and he guards it with his life. He's also living for you if you are saved. He not only died for you, but he's living for you right now. And then finally, what do you do as a sinner? Well, it's very simple. You're weak. You can't really do much. But what you can do is you can come to him. And that's what it says here. He says, you can repent. It says here, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And what did they do here in this chapter earlier? It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. And it says, what is he going to do? He receives sinners. That means that sinners come to him. He welcomes them. So that is the answer tonight is, how do you repent? Well, you recognize that, Lord, I can't do anything. I'm undone. But I know you will receive me. With all of salvation, with salvation, you died for me. I come believing. And that is a wonderful, wonderful hymn. Come believing tonight. I know my time is almost up, but I have a few more minutes. And I just want to say the last honorable mention that I had was Paul the Apostle. And here's a man from, that's what I'm saying, from every society, the whole group together. You get all of them. You get four that I was thinking about specifically. The man of Gadara, who was shackled in his sin. He couldn't get out. They were all lost. Every one of them, there was joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know what Paul says? He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, I am a chief of sinners. But what does Paul say of his previous life? He says, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. And then he says, you think of this, for what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He found, and what happened to Paul? Well, as he was persecuting the church, in all of his zeal, here's a religious man who was living very uprightly, and yet he was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus, and he struck him to the ground. In the middle of the day, there was a light above the brightness of the sun, and none else than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he has to be the one that saves. It is himself. And he opened up heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul was struck. He couldn't believe it. Who is this? Who are you, Lord? It was Christ. Tonight, it is Christ, the same one that can speak to you, to your heart from heaven. And you can walk away rejoicing with all of heaven, saying, I am saved because I have a Savior, because he died for me. All the judgment that is due me, yes, it is due me, but God spared not his son. God loves me. And Jesus died for me. You can walk away. I come. And he's going to welcome me. He welcomes sinners. And yet walk away being on his shoulders. He is worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ, may you come to him tonight. I know I have just a few more minutes before I sing the last hymn. Let us commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer.